I have some exciting news for those of you who wish that you could be nearer to Hillsdale College. Now, you can be a part of Hillsdale, no matter where you are in the world. In addition to their free online courses, Hillsdale College has created something new, the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It allows you to learn even more from Hillsdale anywhere at any time. And on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, you'll hear podcasts that feature conversations with Hillsdale College faculty, staff, friends, alumni, as well as visiting speakers and authors discussing everything from philosophy to theology to history, economics, politics, and current events. Listen to hundreds of episodes on the network, from the Hillsdale Dialogues to the radio-free Hillsdale Hour to the Larry Arnn Show, all for free. Get informed and entertained at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com, and learn more about their free online courses and the new Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, changing hearts.
In the criminal investigation, there's three different factors that we have to look at. One is intoxication, which that's why we have doing a toxicology report. Two would be accidental, which means that something occurred that was an accident that caused this accident. Or three would be intentional, which means that he intentionally did it. Now, I know there is a report out there that they're saying that it was intentional, that Brownsville Police is saying that this was an intentional accident. Well, I'm here to clarify that Brownsville Police has never taken the stand that it was an intentional accident. It is a factor that we have to look at, because there's three different factors. With that being clarified, we are doing the best we can. We're still out here. We're doing the investigation. Detectives are working, and this is a case that we're going to continue to work 24 hours a day if needs be. And as more information becomes available, we'll be releasing it out to the media.
It's the case of white Hispanics, right? I mean, at least that's what, right?
White supremacists.
Yeah. No. White Hispanics, because it's all white supremacy. It's white Hispanics. Now, it's like the same thing that we saw with, like, Zimmerman. Remember all of this? This is just, I hate our media. I purposefully, I make an effort to not pay attention to any news over the weekend, which is really hard to do considering my job. But after a while, it kills your soul dead. And you got to take a break from it, because you get massive burnout and you can't, I mean, you this is the stuff I'm talking about. Like, I can't tell you, I only put a couple of the links in on my rundown, some of these headlines where, you know, the media is talking about, it's white supremacy. They're certain. We don't have the Nashville Killers manifesto, but we are sure as hell certain that this issue is because of Kane, it's that dastardly white supremacy.
Yeah.
Welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you to get your, whatever the hell this week started. I don't know. It's just, there's some odds and ends to get into, and it's just in a weird mood, and I'm overwhelmed with senioritis, and people are asking for stuff, and I can't turn it around quickly enough, because it's just, you guys know how it is this time of year. It's crazy. It is absolutely insane. And then we had the news over the weekend. So first off, I saw some of this. And if you can't, by the way, if you're listening to the radio show, you guys know where we're at, the streams, et cetera, et cetera. I say this literally multiple times an hour. Just find us. I want to get into the news instead of doing all this stuff. They said it's a neo-Nazi Texas mall gunman. I know. But the way that it was promoted, and the way that I first saw this story actually had to do with, it was described, the first time I saw it, it was, suspected white supremacist, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what? Like neo-Nazi white supremacist. The reason why it's kind of important to drill this stuff down is because you have people going head first out into society, believing that there's just like this massive explosion of, oh, it's racist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, white supremacy. When ultimately, and I only saw a few people making this, you know, asking this question, is this an issue of cartel violence? And that was what a lot of people were asking. Is this actually an issue of cartel violence? And I think, you know, you can't really, it's kind of hard to ask the question about cause and effect and crime and everything else when you're also trying to fight these narratives within the press, within the media. So you have this 33-year-old who had been previously removed from the military. And 33 years old, was previously removed from the Army over mental health concerns in 2008. And they think that he may have been a white... I'm just trying to get the white supremacist. Your name is Mauricio Garcia. I'm trying to get the white supremacist aspect of this. Because that's how it was presented. I mean, the ones I have here are what? This is a Washington Post headline. There was an NBC headline. There was an ABC headline. There was a CBS headline. There were all these different white supremacist, white supremacist, white supremacist. And I keep seeing these headlines, and I'm like, oh, you can't even have an honest conversation about this story because they're immediately going all in with a narrative. I saw the video of the guy laying on the ground, and my first thought was, well, I'm wondering why my first thought was he was a chunk. So if they were trying to be like, oh, this guy was tactical, whatever, he's the fattest tactical dude I've ever seen. I mean, he was a chunk. C-H-O-N-K, chunk. And this, I saw the video of him on the ground. I wouldn't encourage you to see things if it troubles you like that. But yeah, gravy seal. I mean, you know, except he wasn't. But where are we getting the whole like white supremacy, et cetera, thing from? I mean, here was a guy who had mental health concerns. He was literally, you know, kicked out of the Army. He's removed from the Army is how it was put. He'd been living in a budget inn in Texas. And this, he was at a budget inn in Texas. 2008 was when he was kicked out of the Army. And it was a mental health issue. But that's all we know. I mean, there hasn't been any more information that was provided. Nobody knows if he held a job in the mall. We can't even ask these questions because we have to get fixated on whether or not he's a white supremacist. We have to get this out. This is what we have to focus on. And then, of course, you have everyone who goes in on gun control. Nobody wants to know why this guy did it. Nobody wants to know if he had any kind of connections to this mall. This was in Frisco. It's not too far from us. Nobody was asking, you know, any questions as to why he was there, what connections he had, what was his motivation, was this a cartel issue? You know, this 33-year-old, why aren't his records in terms of why, you know, what was with his mental health that caused him to be released from the military in 2008? Now, everybody wants to go all in with all of this other nonsense. It's infuriating. I mean, that's pretty much all we know at this point. He had a gray Charger. It was always parked in front of his parents' house, but he apparently lived in a budget inn. He worked as a security guard at one point. He had a patch on his chest. The Washington Post says this, and no one's, you know, apparently has dove any deeper into it. They said the Washington Post found that he was wearing a patch on his chest that suggested neo-Nazi leanings or something like that. I don't know. He had a tattoo on his hand that everybody immediately became a forensics expert. I also hate Twitter when we get into forensic expert Twitter. I know. I mean, it is what it is, but, you know. So, this is it. I mean, he had apparently did not have a serious criminal history, and he was apparently, at some point, had a stint as a security guard. Nobody else knows anything. But we know for sure that it's white supremacy. Nothing else matters. This is the only certain thing. I think this is why you need to be armed, and you also always need to be aware. Because evil is real. And we coddle it. And we have a horrible criminal justice system because we let repeat violent offenders go. Yeah, here's the Washington Post tweet. I almost can't even read it for the rage. He was a man in his early 30s who had white supremacist or neo-Nazi beliefs. Say people familiar with the investigation. Well, hell, everyone's familiar with the investigation. Anybody could say this. Well, I'm familiar with the investigation, and I think it was Hitler reincarnated. What about that? Science. Rolling Stone. The man who killed at least 8 people was motivated by white supremacist beliefs. Do we know? I mean, again, he's an Hispanic dude. Mauricio Garcia. How in the world, because the Washington Post said they think there was a patch on his jacket that they didn't even identify? And we're going to go with this whole narrative, and then Biden's going to be talking about, oh, the danger of white supremacy, and then we're going to get some more executive actions on something that they just decided to fabricate. Meanwhile, Biden has urged the GOP to act on assault weapons and to ban assault weapons again. That's another move that he made. He gave a statement over the weekend. And in the meantime, he also was talking about his son, Hunter Biden, which we're going to get into. He talked about that, but not so much on immigration. Yeah, he talked about that, not so much on immigration. Because Title 42, this kicks in, this expires on Thursday. Have you seen some of the video? That Bill Melugin has had some great video. He's been there at the border. And of course, this is our KURV affiliate. We have, you know, tons of, I mean, hi, we're in Texas. And then we also have our affiliates, et cetera, down near the southern border. And there were apparently something like 10,000 illegal entrants waiting there at the border to cross over. I mean, this is going to be complete and total chaos. That's an understatement. Complete and total chaos. And so with Title 42 on Thursday, you have this stuff going. I mean, I was thinking about this when I read this headline about this, you know, the what happened in Frisco. And then, of course, we had the seven people who were killed after an SUV slammed into a shelter also in Texas. This was seven people. This was in Brownsville, Texas. So this is also near the border. This is towards the eastern, southern, southeastern border in Texas. And this driver allegedly rammed his SUV into multiple people. This was a center for a shelter for homeless and people who entered the country illegally. It happened early in the morning. 11 people taken to the hospital. One was airlifted, according to Brownsville Police Department. And the surveillance footage showed a male running down people at the bus. I mean, it was horrible. So this, that was released. The person's in custody. They're being screened. Apparently, they said it was like a DUI situation, wasn't it? Like the individual was drunk. That's one of the latest things that I read this morning. This is a city that, I mean, it's right there by the border. This is a major border town. And so this comes all as this anticipation of this surge is taking place. Again, expires on May 11th. That's this Thursday. This Thursday. I mean, it's going to be hell on earth down there. I just can't get over the video. I've been watching this video on loop over and over and over and over and over again. Of all of these people that are literally like waiting and ready and right down at the border waiting to cross.
I have a question.
Yes, King. Yes, King, your question.
Do they look like, you know, they're escaping some sort of, you know, they're in some refugee situation.
No.
They're just escaping. Or do they look more clean, young, no kids traveling?
I mean, it legit looks like a festival.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like people traveling for a festival. I don't want to be harsh about it, but you know, you made a good point when you're talking about people who are refugees and who are fleeing.
Yeah.
They, you know, those people, they're terrified, they're running for their lives,
all men. Look, one showing it on
the simulcast that we're showing, you can watch the simulcast of
the majority are men.
Show. It's a lot of men. I saw a couple chicks, but they're all young.
Late 20s,
all young.
At the latest, late 20s, maybe 30. Look at that.
There's not a single person in that line who's in their 30s in all of the video that we've seen.
Yeah, you're probably
not
right.
A single person. I would fight you over that. They're not a single person who is in their 30s that's standing in the line. Some of them got fresh shaves, man. What are we doing? This is going to be such a catastrophe. This is what we got on deck for you today. Got the upcoming Title 42, right? We have Law and Order with all the stuff that's been happening in Texas. All the latest with the Neely case, the Jordan Neely case. They've identified the Marine who is involved in the case. It's going before a grand jury, and they're going to consider whether or not they're going to bring up charges. Because remember, the coroner, the medical county examiner, determined that it was homicide, which does not, first off, really quickly understand that does not initially mean criminal. It just means a person who died. They died as a result of someone else. Homicide, I mean, let's go to the Latin root, but that does not necessarily mean like a criminal charge unless the grand jury decides that enough evidence exists, because you have to get into criminal negligence and all of that to determine whether or not there is enough there to bring charges. We'll have the latest on that case because some more stuff has come out on that. We have the debt ceiling fight, Republicans, the NatCon ridiculousness, all of this and more.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm having like a Casey Kasem moment. I'm like, how do I go from that song to this headline? Like, I can't talk about this. No, this is one of the most horrific things that I've ever heard. This happened in Brazil. Now, according to a family, I'm just going to read the headline. A doctor pulled off a baby's head during childbirth. While the horrified father watched. The doctor's being investigated. He reportedly, like, basically climbed out onto the table, pulled the baby's head off during childbirth. The horrified father was watching. The father said the baby was blinking and the mouth was moving. They knew that, I mean, this is just horrific. I talked too long last segment. And also, because we have a lot more, and I'm not going to be able to get to it, we're going to talk about the finding of credit card companies. Florida banned credit card companies tracking gun purchases. That's a great move. Stay with us. Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
So we are furthest along with Colombia. It should be a matter of weeks, but we also have additional lawful pathways that already have existed for people to access.
The phone apps you're talking about.
Yes, the parole program for Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans.
That's Alejandro Mayorkas telling this. Was he on? Was that CNN, MSNBC? Telling this CBS. Thank you, Steve. Telling this reporter. No. I mean, you're asking about single adult males from Venezuela with no family here entering the country. You're mistaken. You're mistaken. Dude, we've seen the video. I don't know where he thinks that we're mistaken about. Welcome back to the program. Your flummoxed curmudgeon here, Dana Lash. You can listen coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast of the radio show, YouTube, Facebook, channel 347 DirecTV. This is going to, I can't. Guys, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around how bad this is going to be. This is unbelievable. The expectation of entry, the amount of people who are expected to go across the border, the second Title 42 lifts. I was looking at some of all of the numbers and you know, how many people are crossing. I mean, it's going to look apocalyptic. I mean, that's just what, I mean, and there have been people who have described that. That's what their expectation as to what this will look like. And then all of the border, the 1,500 active duty troops that they've sent, they're going to only be processing people. They're not going to be doing any kind of enforcement. They're just going to be processing people through the system faster. That's literally what they're being used for. They're sending 1,500 active duty troops down there just to process people faster. That's all it is. They're not going to enforce anything. They're not going to do nothing. This is crazy. It's crazy. And I Republicans should not be engaging in any kind of negotiation on the debt ceiling until the border's closed. Honestly, if they played their messaging right, I don't see how this would be a winning or a losing position for them. Think about this. We're pretending to have some kind of good faith discussion about debt ceiling issues, about the border or about the budget when we have a wide open border. Why are we doing it? Why are we having any kind of discussion about this at all whatsoever while the border's open? Why are we having any kind of discussion about this at all whatsoever while Alejandro Mayorkas is demanding the processing of illegal entrants faster and then losing contact with all of the kids that are coming through, dropped off by coyotes alone? Why are we engaging in this? This is just a Victorian freak show. This is stupid. This is Republican-ing theater. I don't know how, there's no other thing I can use to describe it. I think it's a joke. I don't even want to talk about the debt ceiling anymore because I don't take it seriously. I don't take any of this seriously. I'm not going to sit here in this chair behind this mic and talk about these absolute BS issues when we have a wide open border. What does any of it else matter? You have a wide open border. You got 15,000 people set to cross in one day. The second this thing is up, the second it expires, they're going to cross. We already have people down at the border. You already have the drone camera footage. You can see. Why are we talking about this? 10,000. I've read 15,000. And they're all young. As Kane and I were talking about and looking at some of the surveillance footage of people waiting in line that Juan's showing you on the simulcast. Not a single one of these people is over age of 30. Not a single one. Mostly young men. There are a couple of women, but it's mostly young men. And we're supposed to talk about budget issues. We're supposed to talk about the debt ceiling and increasing how much we can spend. Why are we doing any of this? Why are we having this conversation at all? I would walk out. I would protest even showing up. Where are lawmakers on this? Why haven't we had a single one say, you know what? Look, I'm going to tell you, I think that Kevin McCarthy's been fulfilling promises that he's made. But I want to see people say, no, we're not going to engage in this. This now it's on the Senate side. We're not going to engage in this until we close the border, until we have some kind of closed border. Why is that so beyond the realm of possibility? Why is that not being entertained? It's all a joke. All a joke. This is going to be devastating for so many of these border towns. They said there are 10,000 right across the border waiting. Waiting. Once the policy's dropped, they're waiting. They're basically hanging out right by the border, just waiting to cross. And I mean, there is nothing else. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I can't imagine, you know, some of these border towns, they're going to see at least there for a little bit. I mean, you're talking about having border towns whose populations by themselves are going to be increased 4 and 5 fold while everyone it comes in and then they stay and then they go. I mean, it's being called an invasion, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. Here's where it gets crazier. So there's 10,000 that are like people who have been actively counted and who are waiting right across the border. There's another 5,000, apparently, that's one group coming up. And there's about 700,000, according to numerous Border Patrol counts. Also, according to Mexican authorities, because you got a lot of people coming up from Central and South America coming up through Mexico. I mean, this is in El Paso alone. There's 2,000 illegal entrants, including children. People are sleeping on the street. Everything is so overcrowded. They do not have enough spaces for people to even sleep in a shelter under a roof. There were enough people who entered the country last year illegally that it's like creating another state of Mississippi. Apparently it was around the same population size as Mississippi. Oh, yeah. I heard some of your jaws drop. That's what we're talking about here. Think about this. You got 15,000 on the other side of the border. The town that I came from has 3,000 people in it. 3,000. So in what, the span of 4 years, the number of people who entered the country illegally under this president, only in 4 years, you've added the entire population of a state. In 4 years. Do you see why I say that 2024 is too important to be jacking around with popularity, personality contests on the right? Do you see why I get so angry I almost can't even talk about it on air? When I see all these operatives pretending that they're not paid operatives, and I know better, that are all on Twitter and they're on Facebook, and they're acting as though, oh, well, we got to go for this person or, you know, X, Y, and Z. None of that's going to matter if we can't win. Winning, I don't care who. Winning and the person who can win the most, that is all I care about for 2024. Because this, folks, just in the past 4 years, we added the population of an entire state of people. And that is only, guys, that's only the people who entered illegally. I'm not making this up. This is published information hidden on this thing that we call the internet. It's from Customs and Border Patrol. It is an entire state. You have people like Lori Lightfoot demanding that there be relief. Eric Adams. You have all of these Democrat mayors and Democrat governors who are mad and demanding relief. If it's bad enough that they're demanding relief, that should tell you something. Yeah, and his Kane notes, it's only when they get 50 or 100 of them. I mean, they're, how dare they show up in our sanctuary state? I think people have this impression that it's only a few hundred people that are coming across, and that could not be further from the truth. It is thousands of people. Audio soundbite 9, Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced the special National Guard unit mobilizing ahead of this ending of Title 42. Listen.
Right now, as we're speaking, the Texas National Guard is loading Black Hawk helicopters and C-130s, deploying specially trained National Guard members for the Texas Tactical Border Force. They will be deployed to hot spots along the border to intercept, to repel, and to turn back migrants who are trying to enter Texas illegally.
Mm. And watch, there's going to be a lawsuit filed on that. I bet you. Remember what happened when Jane Brewer, who was the governor of Arizona, some of you may not remember, but Jane Brewer, she tried to repel thousands of people who were coming across illegally. And Eric Holder under Barack Obama went after her. They were threatening her with jail and everything else. I mean, it is, I don't know what you would call it if it's not an invasion. Complete lawlessness. I mean, look what's happening in El Paso. All of these people up in, you know, places like Chicago and New York, they don't have to deal with this kind of stuff. They think, oh, you just let those, you let the poor unwashed masses down there at the border deal with it. Like, as though it's somehow their responsibility by way of being at the southern border, that it's their job to do. When it's their sanctuary city policies and their open border party policy that is, that's driving this, that's creating this. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, I have no words for it. I mean, you're thousands and thousands of people, and most of them are single adults, guys. Single adults. And people go, oh, well, you know, they're gonna have their income and they'll work and they'll add to, you know, that's the leftist argument, except that's not supported by actual data. The truth of the matter is income earned here is sent back to country of origin. Do you see how that works? I mean, this is just Two days. We have more on the way. We have Days of These United States coming, and we have a lot more on this as well. We also have the individual who drove there. First, it was described as an SUV, just up and of its own will, drove into a shelter of illegal entrance. And the individual was charged with 8 counts of manslaughter. The driver apparently was a local with an extensive rap sheet, George Alvarez, 34 years old. We're going to talk about this here as well. You've heard me talk about my friends at Kel-Tech for years, and it's because I really believe in them as a company and as innovators. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond, like with the Kel-Tech P50, a revolutionary award-winning pistol that packs a punch in a compact package. The Kel-Tech P50 is perfect for home defense, for range shooting, or just even having some fun. And with its top-mounted Picatinny rail, you can easily attach your favorite optics or accessories to make it truly yours. Whether you are a seasoned shooter or you're just starting out, the Kel-Tech P50 is the perfect pistol for anyone looking for power and precision in a compact and easy-to-use package. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond. Learn more about the P50 pistol at KeltechWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tech. KeltechWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Will Republicans miss another layup? New polls show 40% of Republicans don't want Trump to run, but he's still leading in the polls. Has the new Republican strategy become leaning to the left on certain issues? How should Republicans approach this primary strategy with an easy path to the White House? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
You know, Margaret, we've been preparing for this for more than a year and a half. You are correct. And it is indeed a regional challenge, and it requires a regional response, which is why we are working so closely with many countries to the south. It's going to take our plan a while to really take hold for people to understand
what?
That they can access lawful, safe, orderly pathways before they reach the border. And quite frankly, if they come to the border, they will receive a consequence under our enforcement authority.
Wow. Alejandro Mayorkas saying, well, we've been planning this for quite some time. Welcome back to the program. You mean the invasion that's slated to take place at a greater pace at the southern border in 2 days' time. This is literally, who was it? It was called by a friend of mine, a human tsunami. On day one, because there are people who are immediately right across the southern border, 10,000, just right across the southern border already there. Then you have another, five, I think they said, coming up. And then, after that, they said 700,000 to a million. Now, Title 42, if you were unfamiliar with it, it was part of the Public Health Service Act of 1944. It was like 80 years ago that Title 42 was enacted. And it was to allow the authorities to prohibit entry to people that they think pose a health risk. Now, under the previous administration, it was implemented at the border to sort of stem the flow of migration and illegal entry, etc. And that, you know, because that's when you were still expected to wear masks, etc., etc. And this, of course, this administration has not wanted to retain it. So you have 1,500 active duty troops going to the area, and then you have Alejandro Mayorkas here. Well, you know, wait until people don't understand our plan. Our plan has to stay, you know, that it's going to take hold. What does that mean? Because here's the issue. This is a humanitarian crisis. You know, you have Kyrsten Sinema, who had said that the Biden administration had 2 years to prepare for this and did not do so. That was her direct quote when she was on with Face the Nation. Yeah, play this, because this is one of the reasons that she walked away from the party. Listen.
Title 42 goes away on Thursday, and everyone here in Arizona knows we are not prepared. The Biden administration had 2 years to prepare for this and did not do so. And our state is going to bear the brunt, and migrants will be in crisis as soon as next week. It will be a humanitarian crisis because we are not prepared.
They're not prepared. It's going to be humanitarian because she's right. She's absolutely right. And so there was legislation, what Tom Tillis had put forward, it's not going to do anything. It was going to provide this like temp 2 year authority to expel people similar to what was somehow allowed under Title 42. There's no way they're going to pass that before Thursday. It's not going to happen before Thursday. They didn't prepare for any of this. And it's going to be a nightmare of epic proportions. We have a lot still coming up. Second hour on the way. Don't go anywhere. More of the Dana Show right back after this. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
We are building lawful pathways, and we are delivering consequences for those who do not use those meaningfully accessible pathways. The message is very clear. We are coming with the relief that our laws provide to the individuals in need. The border is not open. It has not been open, and it will not be open subsequent to May 11th.
Yeah, it is. That's Alejandro Mayorkas, who is trying to really sell this claim that the border isn't open. While you've had, as we were discussing last hour, in the past four years, we have had the population equivalent of an entire state. I think it was Mississippi, I think is what was given. Although someone else said it was more along the lines of Virginia. But it's been, but of all illegal entrants, those are just illegal entrants. So, doesn't seem like it's secure, and doesn't at all seem like it is totally not a crisis, as has been said by a number of these Biden officials. So, welcome to the program. We are 2 days away from the expiration of Title 42. I'm your hostess, Dana Lash, here with you at the top of this second hour. You can listen to the radio program coast to coast, and you can watch the simulcast of the program also on Channel 347 DirecTV, also YouTube and Facebook discussions also available over at YouTube. So, it's incredibly problematic, number one, this idea somehow that the crisis at the border is imaginary, because you have, and I was pulling up this headline that I had too. First, I was telling you had Lori Lightfoot, who had been complaining about the surge of people being brought to Chicago. You have Eric Adams in New York who has complained about it, and then you've had another lawmaker who said that they're going to declare an emergency as a result of this. The influx, human tsunami. How do you want to put it? I mean, it's completely overwhelming people. It is. I mean, it's an invasion. That's how it's been described. New York County had issued an emergency declaration because Eric Adams said that he was trying to figure out how they were going to house everybody, how they were going to do this. The issue too is that. So many of the, it wasn't a problem until blue states actually started being affected by this in the manner that they were. The idea, someone had said that, imagine that everyone from the state of Mississippi, or I guess what, Virginia, decided to walk right across your front yard, walk through your flower beds, walk across your sidewalk, walk across your driveway, and coming in to live in the cities. That's the reality at the border. The argument that the left has put out is that you're dealing with refugees, but that's not truthful. And granted, you might have a couple of them, but that's not the vast, like 99.9%. You're talking about 700,000 to a million people that are expected to cross that when Title 42 expires. The most of them are, young adults. The vast majority are men. I mean, when you have refugees, when you have people fleeing, and this is what Bill Malugin has shown, when you have people who are fleeing, you don't just see young men. In many respects, it's mostly women and children. In refugee situations, it's women and children who flee. It's women and children who make up the refugee camps. That's true. These are mostly young adults, mostly men. And we're sending 1,500 active duty soldiers to the southern border just to help process people faster. I mean, this is going to be a nightmare. The RGV sector, they're the ones saying that there's a couple of different sectors that are going to be bearing the brunt of that 10,000 immediately. And then you have another 5,000. And then they said 700,000 to a million after that. I mean, whew. There's no other way to put it. It is going to be absolutely disastrous. This is probably going to be one of the worst things. It will go down in history as being one of Joe Biden's most disastrous failures. I mean, if you consider what he's done to American energy, if you consider what he's done with regard to foreign policy, and then you look at what's happening at the border, it is a disaster. And I got to tell you, I get so aggravated. I'm so tired of seeing ads. I'm tired of seeing ads from all of these different, people in these different Republican primary factions. Everyone's having personality contests. This is the biggest issue. I want a winner. I want a winner in 2024, because after that, who knows what's going to happen? Do we know? This is one of the things that we've been looking up. The rate of when people come over to vote, and especially when you have people who enter illegally and who come over to the United States, I do wonder about what happens to that state. Because, if people are given the power to vote as they are in California, what's going to happen? Right? What happens to that? What happens to the electorate? When you're talking about bringing in the equivalent of an entire state's population into the United States, and we already know that there are some instances of voter fraud, I think it's decentralized to the point that makes it impossible. I don't believe, like in 2020, and I know people get upset over it, but I think that there were a lot of things that factored into it. And I think even Kane and I disagree on this, but there are absolute instances of voter fraud, but it's not, there isn't enough evidence to prove that it is centralized enough to cost an entire election. But what happens when you start, when you get like four more years, say, of Joe Biden, heaven help us all, and you have 700,000 to a million people who enter the country illegally, and a lot of the accommodations that they have been giving people who enter illegally in other states, what happens if that starts becoming the reality in some of these other areas? You have these, like California, people can vote in local and municipal elections. I mean, just think about what this means in terms of how you make decisions in your area, how you make decisions with your tax dollars, how you make decisions in your schools. Texas is already, for instance, as one of the border states, already in a battle to keep it from becoming like Colorado. It's been fairly successful. When you destroy that any kind of voter integrity, when you implement California policies here with regards to, you know, some of the stuff that we've been talking about, local and municipal, I mean, you're going to be changing the political makeup of the state. I mean, there's a lot of things that play into this. I can't think about what's going to happen to the rainy day fund that Texas has or any of these other states when they have to rely on money that they save to deal with an issue that the federal government has created. And I've asked, you know, when we've had Ken Paxton on, when we've had Governor Greg Abbott on, when we've had a number of these other border state AGs or governors on, we've always asked, well, what is the, you know, I mean, surely you can contest these federal policies on this 10th Amendment level. I mean, there's Supreme Court cases protecting the rights of states and their resources against federal mandates. You know, Prince v. U.S. was one of those. And that has to go through, I mean, it takes years. It has to go through the whole court system. And then even if it's proven that this, you know, whether it's the expiration of Title 42 or some other policy from this administration regarding immigration, whether or not they determine that it absolutely was, you know, a commandeering of states' resources, et cetera, which I believe it was. By that time, how many years have passed? How many people have entered the country illegally and have just, you know, fait accompli, stay here? Do you understand? I mean, it's still, you lose. You lose, you lose. They talked about the people who are dying trying to cross. Wall Street Journal has a story where Border Patrol is saying that, I mean, it's a graveyard. Record numbers of people dying, and they have nowhere to put them. 890 people were recovered by the U.S. authorities along the border in just last year alone. That's a 58% increase. They have no idea where to put them. They said there's so many, we don't know. You're talking about border towns that are being tasked with the responsibility of recovering the bodies and burying them. Do you think that Eric Adams is giving assistance to any of these towns? Is Lori Lightfoot giving assistance to any of these towns? Is Gavin Newsom giving assistance to any of these towns? Is Alejandro Mayorkas, when he talks about how the border isn't open, do you think that Alejandro Mayorkas is directing DHS or to give any kind of aid to these border towns to help them deal with the 58% increase in dead bodies that they're having to deal with? No. No. The left says, oh, they're dying on the streets because these policies are intolerant. They're unhoused. Why don't you give up your house? Why doesn't AOC sell her super expensive, top of the line, luxury electric vehicle and use that to pay for some lodging at the southern border, instead of living like a welfare queen off of the forced generosity of welfare town residents? All of the people who talk a game about sanctuary cities and do nothing to alleviate the problem that their open border policies create at the southern border are welfare queens, every single one of you. And you deserve the title. I mean, it's infuriating. You have people, I can't tell you the number of people I've spoken with, because we are, you know, we have radio affiliates in a number of these border towns, whether it's on Facebook or whether it's on Twitter or whether they send emails, and it's, you know, some of them are terrified. You're talking about, like, there are some families that are Hispanic ranching families, three generations, and they are worried about going out to, you know, just check on their animals once before they go to bed at night, because they have no idea whether they're going to come across cartel activity. This is in the United States of America. They're terrified to even go out on their own land. When I did a book signing in KURV in McAllen, I was talking to one rancher who is right there. His property butts up against the Rio. And they were saying that, you know, they make sure, because they have, he's one of those where you have multiple generations. And this old rancher had his son, Hispanic family, had his son and son-in-law and daughter help. And they have their grandkids help. But they, when at sunset, everybody's got to, I mean, it's like, it sounds like a horror film. Everybody's got to come in at sunset. You got to be done at the border at sunset. If you're arranging family, you got to hurry up and get all your stuff done and especially get them kids in, especially get the women in at sunset because cartel activity increases. You have no idea what's going to happen. Heaven forbid you have to defend yourself because then you're going to have the federal government come down on you and use you as an example of a way to criminalize self-defense. That's what we're dealing with. My heart breaks for these people. These people who have to deal with this at the border, they come over to the United States. They achieve the American dream. They create a dynasty for their family, you know, several generations in. And they create businesses and restaurants and car dealerships. And they, you know, they create entire communities. And now all of that is threatened because of these lawless border policies. There is so much at stake at 2024. I cannot be serious enough. This is why I don't care about, who you like in the Republican primary. I don't care. I don't care who you like in the Republican primary. I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I will bulldoze over anybody. I want to win because we got to close the border. We have to make sure that we are on good footing when it comes to energy sustainability. I mean, have you seen what's happening with China and the Pacific? Have you seen what's happening with us becoming dependent upon, you know, tyrant nations in order just to be able to run our vehicles and turn on our lights? It's insane. We have to have a course correction or the course is going to correct us. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke problem. Propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
The United States is offering Palestinians $100,000 to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion in arts and sports. The State Department says groups will be rewarded that focus efforts on gender identity and sexual orientation. Oh my gosh, it's taxpayer dollars. $100,000. They said it's going to be through the American Palestinian Arts, Culture, and Sports Initiative. No. California is defaulting on $18 billion debt. It's going to hit their employers the most. It's their recent decision to not pay back something almost like $20 billion borrowed from the federal government to cover the unemployment benefits during the pandemic. It's going to fall on the shoulders of the employers, according to the experts. They say the state should have taken care of the loans with the COVID money it received from the government in 2021. But Gavin Newsom has been too busy going across the country pretending that he's going to run for president in 2024, only to be pushed back on the shelf by Joe Biden when he decided to announce again. Let's see. Apparently, the all-you-can-eat buffet is coming back. Yeah, the Old Country buffets, the Golden Corral buffets, the CC's. They said that the sales were up 125% from January of 21. Why is this? Because I don't know. I had issues with like buffets even before the lockdown. So I don't know. Stay with us. We got a lot more still on the way.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
And so the issue, the very real issue, is that we have to take some common sense approach to gun control legislation. And I agree, we have to help people with mental health. We have to make our nation healthier. We're not doing enough. But we also have to do something about what's actually killing the people, and that is these guns, these high-powered guns. I mean, there's a reason we don't allow people to have grenades and bazookas, and these are weapons of war, and I believe these AR-15 high-capacity rifles are also weapons that belong in the theater of war.
Okay, first off, how many words is he going to throw out there? How many descriptors is he going to make up to throw out there? That's Texas State Senator Jose Menendez, who is entirely clueless about firearms. And I just ask that if people are going to talk about them with the intent of pushing regulations, that they understand what they're talking about. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. The AR-15 has never, ever, 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 ever in the history of the United States military ever, ever been in a general issue rifle. Ever. Not once. Not even thought about. Never. It has never been a general issue rifle for the United States military. It has never been issued as a general issue rifle for the Army. It has never been issued for the Navy. It has never been issued for the Air Force. It has never been issued for the Marines, ever. It always, always, always was a civilian one trigger pull, one round rifle only. That is how it was. That's how it was conceived. That's how it was created. That's how it began. Period. Anything else is ignorance. Take that to the bank. No branch has ever, ever gotten that. Now, what these people like Jose Menendez believe is that the M16 or the M4 is the same thing as the AR-15, and it's not. It's not, and here's why. I mean, I'm going to explain this for the drive-bys out there and the Media Matters people, because I create their jobs and feed their families because they monitor the program. You're welcome. I love that alpha power. The M16 and M4 are not like the AR-15 because they are what we call select fire or full auto. I mean, there's words have meanings. And it's incredibly important. It's not a flex. It's not people trying to show off their knowledge. It is important to use the correct language because certain parts of the law and the penalty that result are invoked depending on what words are involved. Just like there's a difference with, you know, things like misdemeanor and felony. There's a difference between, you know, petty theft and grand larceny. There's a difference with these words also. Shocking, but it's true. The M16 and M4, you have things, these are firearms that are either select fire capable or full auto. Select fire meaning they either have like a 3-round burst, which is one squeeze of the trigger, 3 rounds, or full auto, one squeeze in, you know, however many rounds. It's not like the AR-15, which was designed and created for civilians. The military liked the platform, but they wanted it to do select fire or full auto. So they got different ones based on that platform. See, people like Jose Menendez don't understand different parts of rifle. They don't understand gun platforms. You have different ways that rifles are constructed and operate, right? You have an AK platform, you have an AR platform. There's all different sorts. It's simply that platform that they wanted to do three select fire capability to have that power, either full auto or 3-round burst. That's what they wanted. So to correct him, it is not a weapon of war. It has never been a weapon of war. It has never been issued as a weapon of war. And any lawmaker insisting otherwise is a liar. And to push regulation on innocent people based on a lie, I think should be punished with forfeiture of seat. The firearms that he is talking about haven't been allowed to be commercially manufactured in the United States for how many decades? I'm trying to remember. Like almost 40, right?
Yeah.
It's been a while. And they are what you would call an NFA item, National Firearms Act. They are incredibly expensive. You have to ask permission of the government. I think the NFA is unconstitutional. I also think comparing this rifle, the AR-15, the semi-automatic rifle, to a bazooka is stupid. Because one of the things that Scalia noted in his decision of Heller, and this has been underscored by other cases before and after, is the commonly owned consideration. Is it a commonly owned arm? The AR-15 is one of the most commonly armed semi-automatic rifles that are on the market, and it's the most popular rifle for women in America. And it's actually less powerful than a deer rifle, but that's a whole other discussion. And they, all these people sit here and talk about maximum capacity and plaid capacity and high capacity. I mean, they use these stupid words that have zero meaning. As though somehow the color and the polymer or whatever else around the basic machine, the basic workings of the gun somehow make it, make the bullets come out at a vaporizing rate. I mean, I don't understand these people. But they're NFA items, full auto and select fire. So you got to have to ask the government for permission. Now, like I said, the commonly owned thing, it's dumb to compare it to bazookas and grenades and whatever, because those aren't considered commonly owned. Furthermore, they have not been legally defined as arms. There's a major difference here. Maybe Jose Menendez, it's a shame that his zeal doesn't match his education. And that's a problem with a lot of these lawmakers that are in this discussion. Their zeal and their eagerness to run their mouths about something and denigrate a whole bunch of innocent Americans and lie about the history of the most popular rifle that's involved in the fewest illegal activities in the United States of America so that they can placate their base, who also are equally at a loss for understanding. They say these things. And they don't realize the consequence of this. This is the gateway to ban all firearms. They target the AR-15 because they think people don't know the difference. They expect you to be stupid of the fact that this was never, ever, ever even incepted as a military use firearm. They expect you to be stupid of the fact that it was only ever created for civilian use. They expect for you to be ignorant of the fact that the military modified it later on and used it as M16 or M4. They expect you to be dumb to all of this. They expect you to not realize that according to all publicly available data, the crime statistics that are compiled by every law enforcement agency out there show that this rifle is involved in the fewest illegal activities. Fewer than knives, fewer than feet, fewer than hands, fewer than fists annually. It's not about saving lives. It's about optics. If it was about saving lives, these people would close the border so that we don't have fentanyl coming through. Ah, but alas, they're not about saving lives. They're about banning guns and disarming a populace. At least have the balls to be honest about it. Because that's all this is. This is the gateway to ban. I've said this for 10 years. Every semi-automatic out there, period. And so, when he talks about belonging in theater of war, no. Anyone who says that, they have no clue what they're talking about. None. Now, when you look at, I wanted to get into some of this Jordan Neely case as well, because there's been a lot of stuff that have come out, some more developments that have come out about this. There have been people protesting in the subways. Weren't they shutting down the subways over the weekend? Like getting onto the subway tracks and trying to shut down subways. You remember I had the piece out about the Marine who had Jordan Neely in a chokehold. I don't know if you saw some of this as well, but he also, after he subdued him, put him in the recovery position. He was surrounded by black and white and Hispanic. I mean, I know that's very important to the left, but he was surrounded by people who were actually telling him, oh, that's a good job, after he put him in the recovery position and was trying to, and this is something that passengers had noted as well. This 30-year-old violent homeless man, this repeat offender who had 44 some odd priors, who also had an active warrant for felony assault out on him, who had previously tried pushing people onto subway tracks, who had previously punched a 67-year-old woman in the face, and who right before he was subdued was incredibly aggressive and threatening other passengers. And when you consider his history and the fact that other people who were there on the there at the subway at the time, they knew who he was. They knew he was violent because he was a regular and they were regular. And so this Marine, he was taken into custody. He was released. The medical examiner determined that Neely died from neck compression and that the death was the result of homicide. Homicide is a descriptor. It is not, I mean, you have to look at the basic, I mean, it's Latin, the Latin root. It is talking about someone who was their death was at the hand of someone else. Does not necessarily mean that it is a crime. The grand jury is looking at the case and they are going to make the determination if criminal charges will be brought. And there's a lot of things to consider if that's even the case. First off, you have to look at any kind of negligence and whether it rises to that of criminal negligence. Secondly, what's the toxicology of this guy? One of the things that the family was who had that they admitted is that he was on synthetic, spice is what they call it, synthetic marijuana or synthetic, what is it? I think so. Yeah. And they call it spice. And he apparently, delirium, I was looking at the medical write-up of it. It actually can, it's like incredibly, the effects of this apparently last quite a long time. The K2 is what it's referred to. They said it could, the agitated delirium and the onset of like this, and this is from a doctor on social media who's just simply, and linked it as well to the what they've observed medically, that the psychosis that's brought on to it can last for a couple of days. That's terrifying. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh, that's terrifying. In addition to this, he'd apparently been on it for quite some time and, you know, had a history of drug abuse, had a history of mental illness, had a violent history. All of this makes for something very, very bad. So the grand jury is going to make the determination. And the way that they have, you know, people have been trying to represent this, whether it's like the AOCs, you know, whoever, they've been trying to make this out like this was just this innocent guy who was screaming about food and needed, you know, whatever, and that someone just decided to put him in a chokehold and kill him. Well, as witness statements are coming out and passengers are talking, that actually doesn't look like it was the case at all, does it? Was not at all the case. And so I would be shocked. I personally, if you're asking what my opinion is on it, I think it would be a travesty to charge this guy. When you refuse, and all these Democrats out here are guilty of this. Where in the hell was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez when Bill de Blasio's wife lost $1 billion that was supposed to go for mental health in New York City? Has anyone asked her that? Have people just forgotten that a Democrat straight up lost $1 billion that was earmarked for mental health in New York City? Remember that whole thing? And then he was allowed to quietly leave office? Remember that? Nobody's asking that. We're all them damn Democrats that are sitting here and we're all the people protesting on the subways. Why are they not protesting the fact that you had Democrats that lost $1 billion was supposed to be going for mental health? How in the hell do you lose $1 billion? I know if I lose an dollar. How do you straight up lose $1 billion? Where are all these protesters in the subways on that? All these people who said, oh my gosh, it's so bad what happened about him, but we didn't care enough to actually be there before it happened. Isn't that how they always do? They show up after the fact and they wail and they moan and they make a spectacle out of themselves like these modern day Pharisees. And then as the media interest wanes, they disappear again, back into the ether, back to do whatever they do. And then it happens again and they show up again. But they never actually do anything. They never actually hold anyone accountable. They never actually look at the support structure that is collapsing in all of these different communities as a direct result of their policies. They never ask about any of that. It's theater to these people. That's all they are. That's all they are. They, Democrats, are the measure between the curtains open and the curtains close. And at least when you go to the theater, you get a good show for your money.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh boy. All right. So first up, ABC4. It was a Florida man who made his way up to South Carolina. And he started dancing naked in a median on Dorchester Road, wherever that is, at north of Charleston. North Charleston Police Department had to respond to Dante Gauthier, 34, of Tallahassee. He got charged with one kind of indecent exposure. There was multiple reports of a dude dancing nude in the median. And when they caught up with him, he had at that point fled, apparently found a pair of shorts, fled to a nearby gas station. And he was, quote, rolling on the ground and dancing. Employees at the gas station said, oh, he was dancing all up and down the median, totally naked. They were yelling it for him to get out of the road because he was going to be hit. And then he was still naked, walked into the store, put shorts on after an employee told him to get dressed. Gauthier was only able to mumble responses. He's in custody still. $20,000 bond. You know, I thought this was America. Thought you could, you know, you can't. I mean, no one would want to get hit by a car dancing in the median. You particularly would not want to get hit naked. Yeah. So tomorrow I'll tell you about the driver who crashed into a church trying to flee police. Never a good move. Stick with us. Third hour next.
So we are furthest along with Colombia. It should be a matter of weeks, but we also have additional lawful pathways that already have existed for people to access.
The phone apps you're talking about.
Yes, the parole program for Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans. So we are furthest along with Colombia. It should be a matter of weeks, but we also have additional lawful pathways that already have existed for people to access.
The phone apps you're talking about.
Yes, the parole program for Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and
Okay, I am so confused because this is, first off, this is Alejandro Mayorkas. And he, in this interview, because I went... After I was reading some of the sound bites that we had today, I went back and you can get the transcript of, you know, everything. So he's saying that the processing centers, and he had spent the earlier portion of his discussion making this case that we had like this partnership with some of these other countries. Remember, that was the thing that Kamala Harris was supposed to have set up or something. Remember when she went and there was the triangle, you know, all that, the triangle countries? But they're not ready. The processing there is not ready. Won't be ready for weeks. But yet, he's also said that we've been preparing for a year and a half for the end of Title 42. How does that work? You're not ready, but you've been preparing for a year and a half? That... Kane just turned into the Kermit the Frog drinking the tea meme. What are you drinking? It's your little Kermit the Frog juice.
Coconut water.
He literally just is, mm-hmm. Yep, sure. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of our third hour this Monday. We're 2 days out, folks, from the sunset of Title 42. It is a big issue. It is. Would you, if you lived in a border town, would you be like leaving? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'd be fortifying. Probably.
We got to get our friend Sergio down. He's our brother from another mother down at KU. Same father, the Lord. Down there at McAllen KURV. Because they have to deal with this every day. They're literally right there. And I don't even... I'm almost like terrified to ask him like what it's like dealing with this. But would you... I mean, seriously, if you knew your town... Just imagine it. Your town, you know, was going to be entirely overrun. Think of El Paso. They got people sleeping out in the streets. And that's just not, oh, here's one street we're going to go down in El Paso and get video. No, no, no. It's bad. We have people who, we have a lot of listeners in a lot of these different border areas. And they're on Facebook telling us, they're messaging us. Some of them are in the chat on YouTube. Some of them are on Twitter. They're emailing. And they're like, no, no, no. It's like that everywhere. And when you also... Some of the border areas have, the government has like these third party contractors, and there's like too many to remember specifically who each individually is, but they, you know, when they bring people in and they as part of the processing, and this is what those 1500 active duty troops are going to be doing, processing people, not actually doing it, you know, enforcing, you know, you would think, but they do like, quick little medical checkups, you know, you take your temperature, you do all this stuff. In some of these areas, they're having to go to, like, they're having to use their hospital facilities in some of these areas. Can you imagine, like, what if you have, you know, a serious issues and you're trying to go to your little town's ER or urgent care and it's overrun by the thousands of people who are coming across from the border? That isn't an exaggeration. That is what these people are dealing with. So that's why I ask, would you stay there knowing what was coming in 2 days? That's a big question. I mean, I feel for these people. And one of the things that the media isn't telling you, and I don't even know why I have to make this distinction, but sometimes it's like this is the only way to kind of get through to the left. It's not, what they're doing isn't compassionate. And the majority of people that they are hurting at the border are Hispanic Americans, Americans who are Hispanic. These are, you know, people who they came over legally, their parents or their grandparents or their great grandparents, and they did everything the right way. They jumped through every hoop, and there's a lot of bureaucratic tape. We know that, but they did everything they were supposed to do. They had all the, you know, the T's crossed, the I's dotted, everything, and they're watching hordes of people come into the communities that they helped build, and be rewarded for this. I mean, can you imagine what is going through their hearts and minds right now? It is infuriating. 2 days. 2 days. Now, in the meantime, we've also had this story. This is in Frisco, and I want to touch on this, and we're going to get into some of the wokery, and I got debt ceiling stuff. The issue with what we saw happen with the mall murderer, Mauricio Garcia. I only want to say his name once because apparently people made it in the press, Washington Post and others made it sound like his name was like Ted Smith or something. The 33-year-old security guard, he was removed in the Army in 2008 over mental health concerns. No one really knows what else is going on with him. But he was the guy that everyone was saying, oh my gosh, this white supremacist. And this all came from this patch that he had on his jacket. What do we know about this patch? It was this, he had a tattoo, like a Dallas tattoo on his hand. But he had this patch on his jacket that, now, this is if you believe the Washington Post, because they've been the only people who reported this, that it said RWDS, which apparently stood for Right Wing Death Squad or something to that effect. Whatever that means. I don't know. FBI branch in Dallas, they're leading the case at DPS in Texas. This guy was apparently approved to work as a commissioned security guard from 2016 to 2020. And this was even after he was removed in 2008 from the Army. And they're still investigating whether or not the patch suggested any kind of, extremist beliefs or anything of that nature. His license had been expired, the security guard license, etc. That's kind of all we know at this point. We don't know anything else. I don't take Washington Post immediately as gospel truth, because of course this was the same entity that was part of the whole Russian collusion narrative, and we saw how well that went. So what is that? I mean, I'm just wondering, is it related to any kind of cartel violence? We don't know. Nobody knows. We literally have no idea. Don't talk about it though, because we gotta try to somehow blame this on the right. And who was it? I saw the women of The View were trying to say, yes, you can be Hispanic and be a white supremacist. What? I can't. So that's the latest. Any information we get on that, we'll share with you. So the debt ceiling fight, that's still ongoing. We mentioned earlier, they need to just not, no negotiations, close the border ahead of Title 42. Republicans could play this so well. I don't know why they're not doing this, because this is an issue that you have a lot of Democrats, especially some of the Democrats that are in some of these border states near the border that represent these areas, that could be prevailed upon to, hold the line on this. There should not be any negotiations with this open border. How much is this going to cost, by the way? Do we know what the cost is going to be for the sunset or the expiration of Title 42? Everybody come in through at once. Title 42 didn't stop people from coming in necessarily. It reduced the flow at the same time. Does that make sense? It was one of the things that, really only one of the things that the administration had previously to do this while fighting Congress on the issue. I'm very interested to know what that cost is speculated to be, what they're estimating the cost of all of this, what that could essentially be. I don't know. Because House Democrats have been getting hit by these border issues. I mean, really. And one of the things there have been a number, I'm trying to remember, there have been mayors of border towns, there have been a number of state representatives. You have Representative Aguilar here, who's saying that House Democrats want some sort of order at the border. This is audio soundbite 13. Listen to this.
House Democrats want order at the border. We want asylees treated with dignity and respect. But we also understand the importance of making investments to ensure that that happens. President Biden submitted a budget to Congress that would have done that. It would have made investments in border security. It would have increased Customs and Border Patrol officers. What we saw recently out of House Republicans is they would cut these programs. So what we need to do is offer that certainty, and we need to make sure that these asylees and this process is adjudicated and that there's fairness to it. We want to give the president the space to devise a plan.
This is the problem. They're not all asylees. I mean, he is proposing that all of these people that are coming across the border are doing so because they're refugees. They're seeking asylum. They're not. They are not. The majority of them are young men. Major issue here. So that's not true. He says that he parts with Democrats saying that they would like to have, you know, order, but then at the same time, he undermines it by repeating these talking points. Just send everybody to Chicago, New York, honestly. I would be for that. Just send everything to Chicago, New York. Send it all these sanctuary cities. They wanted these policies. Then border states shouldn't have to deal with it. Border towns should not have to deal with it. They shouldn't have to deal with it at all. Just do, and then let's just see, let's just watch that play out. Let's watch it play out after that. I'm just, it's so frustrating. Now, the couple of other things to make sure that we get into, because we're anticipating whether we're waiting to see whether or not the DOJ is going to announce some sort of indictment. Apparently, James Comer has been saying, let's wait until Wednesday. He wants new evidence. They don't want to get in over their head and announce charges over smaller evidence when they have some stronger evidence apparently in the pipeline. So Comer gave an interview where he was saying, wait until Wednesday before there's any indictment announced, because apparently there's more evidence that they're preparing that is going to come out. And it looks like, of course, this is the investigation into Hunter Biden, the tax issues, also whether or not he lied on his 4473, because that I mean, he, by his own admission, in the book that he wrote, he, you know, mentions dates and times, et cetera, and, you know, and talks about his drug usage. And one of the passages in his book, he's talking about drug usage that absolutely happens at the same time he goes and fills out that federal form. So he kind of gave himself away. There's a woman who's gone to jail for a year in Iowa just last week for this exact same charge. Where's the same level of judicial application here?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So in Pittsburgh, a homeless woman literally hit, well, this is from Pittsburgh, California. A homeless woman actually is now a millionaire because of a lottery ticket. She won $5 million. She bought one ticket, a scratcher's ticket. She said that now she's going to get married, finish her associate degree, and she's going to buy a house and invest the rest of her money. Good for her. She's like, I'm going to get classes. She's like, I'm going to get my job. That's good for her. I like hearing like happy stories instead of, I saw the story of one guy who won the lottery and he bought two mansions and a supercar. And I'm like, dude, you're going to be broke in a year. You're going to be so broke. Oh, man. Well, you know, I hate that. I hate seeing, I don't watch the Kentucky Derby, but they had a winner, Mage, the 149th Kentucky. I just like the mint julep and the hats. I'm going to be honest with you. And the, you know, I like, horses are like giant dogs. They kind of scare me, but I love them. I have pictures. I'll show you what I look like riding a horse, and it's hysterical. It's like a sitcom. Because they're so smart, and I know they're smart. I don't know. Anyway, I'm getting distracted. In Florida, they passed legislation. The governor signed it to fine credit card companies who track gun purchases. Actually, it's heading to DeSantis's desk. Senate Bill 214. This comes after the International Organization for Standardization had previously declared they were going to develop this new merchant category code, and they were going to try to distinguish the sale of firearms and ammunition. Understandably, this made a lot of people nervous because it is, I mean, it's like a de facto registry. It makes sense that people were going to be, you know, I was, you know, one of those individuals. So in Florida, I wish Texas would do it. They have the Florida Arms and Ammo Act, and it draws a line in the sand and says you cannot covertly track, monitor, and report data on Floridians who are simply exercising their Second Amendment rights. So good for what, man. Florida is getting, they're just like getting all these W's, man. All these wins. Racking up these wins. Woo! That's amazing. So this, let's see, latest ABC WAPO poll is, it's a horror show for Joe Biden. And George Stephanopoulos was actually visibly stunned on Sunday. He said that it was a brutal poll, and it shows people very concerned about Biden's age. And I will say this is also one of the first polls that show Trump actually competitive with Biden, where Biden's not just beating him. So that's a very interesting poll. I haven't looked at the crosstabs, but they said 63% of the respondents say Biden isn't sharp enough to be president. Ooh, wait until you hear this next audio soundbite, and you're going to agree even more. Stay with us.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
We're in a situation now where those 1,500 people at the border, they're not there to enforce the law. They're there to free up the border agents that need to be on the border. And we're having another 1,000 people coming in, their asylum judges, to make judgments, to move things along. I've asked this Congress for help in terms of what they need at the border. They need more agents. They need more people to clear people. They need more action to, for example, we need these farm workers. They're badly needed. There has to be a legal pathway to citizenship.
What? He like hit like a million different things there. First off, that's Joe Biden, who's saying that he's confirming what we've been saying, that all of the 1,500 active duty troops that are coming in, they're just simply going to be there to help process people faster. These aren't asylees. These aren't people who are coming in seeking, you know, these aren't refugees. They're not, that's not what this is. They're just going to be getting people into the country faster. That's the whole point of it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Always good to be with you here at the bottom of this third hour already, which is wild. And so, I mean, 2 days, and it's going to, I can't, can you imagine what Bill Malugin's border stuff is going to, I'm actually pulling something, what his border camera is going to show? Yeah. The day of, there's 10,000 people right across the border just waiting to come in. 10,000 waiting to come in right across the border. I know. 10,000 right there. It's that's insane. That's what we're dealing with. But he's explaining it right there in that audio. He's saying, yeah, you know, they're not there to enforce the law. Well, then why are they there? Why even have them there? I mean, doesn't make any sense. Why have them there? Golly. Now, I just wish that Republicans, I think that the messaging on this has been strong, but I think that they can do more. Don't you agree? Like, they're afraid to negotiate, to use the debt ceiling negotiations as hold that as hostage, but I think they ought to. And then if they're accused of it, they could say, well, you're holding border towns hostage. You're holding, you know, all these people hostage. I mean, this is it. I wish they could do it. I just wish that we had a direct line right into their collective heads. Like, this is how you need to deal with this. Now, in the meantime, you know, we've got our very, very sentient president of the United States, Kane. He's a little confused about what's happening this weekend, though. Totally is. Yeah. Can you perhaps play this for us? Because he apparently considers this weekend to be a national holiday. Yep. Listen.
As we approach Memorial Day this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, I'm rushing it.
And he's, what gets me, first off, he says that it's Memorial Day this weekend, a national observance of Memorial Day. It's not. But then he's got Mayor Secretary Poot standing there who doesn't even bat an eye because he doesn't know either. He's just standing there like, yeah. And he does not even, like, move. Nothing. That's not because he's got strong bearing. That's because he's also equally, except he has no excuse. I found that holding airlines accountable. Well, you know, as this Memorial Day weekend. What? Dude, No. This is just bad. This is why he's not negotiating with McCarthy or involved in the budget negotiations, because this is what you'll get. They'll realize how. I mean, he's not even talking with Democrats. Notice that he's not even conferencing with Schumer or any of these other Jeffries or any of the Democrats in power. Leading the majority. He's not talking to any of them. He's just, he was at, what, in Delaware this weekend? He's calls the lid by, like, what, 2 o'clock pretty much almost every day? No questions asked. No questions asked. Jill Biden and her granddaughter attended the coronation over the weekend, which I didn't really watch, but I did see parts of it because I do like all the costumes. Well, not costumes, sorry, like ceremonial, whatever. Guys, come on. American, like, through and through. Okay, it's a little, they had their new king, and I loved the chick who was in, the lady, sorry, I'm not trying to say that as a way to be dismissive, but there was like a woman, there's like handing out swords, I guess, to like some of the lords and ladies, I don't know, like she was, how do you get that job? You get to hand out the swords. It's like, here's your sword, everyone had this, like, I just want to know, like, how many yards of material were used for all of these uniforms? And they had, like, people were wearing the capes. Did you see the people in the, it, like, straight up looked like some Harry Potter stuff happening? Like, they had people with the capes and even the women and the garter and the robes and everything else. It was something else, wasn't it? The regalia was insane. It was very interesting to watch. Now, here's what I thought was interesting, too. They had this one actress, and she's been in a number of things. She's like a very well-respected actress, an older woman. And she was, I think, talking to BBC. And she had said at one point, she had said that the British family was, how did she put it? Like, they were exceptionally, like, incredibly white or something to that extent. And I thought that was a little weird because, I mean, wouldn't a... the family was white? Like, haven't we kind of known this for a while? Yeah. I mean, they're like an old-timey family. This woman, Anjoa Endo, who's on Bridgerton, she said she didn't mean to upset anyone, but she says that they were terribly white. She was talking to, ITV, not BBC. And she had said in her comments, Yes, as they got all on the balcony, oh, yes, they're terribly white. But she came back and said she did not mean that as like some kind of diminishment or insult, which I don't, well, then why say it? She's like, I didn't mean to upset anyone. Well, then why say it? It doesn't make any sense. Why say it then? Like, you're shocked that the white family is white? I don't know. I just, doesn't make any sense to me. But I was fascinated. Did you watch any of it? I didn't watch any. Like, I only look for the feathers and the...
I caught some short clips here and there. But yeah, no, I did not get a chance to watch it.
And then I have very practical observations. Like, how heavy do you think that carriage is? Right? Like the gold carriage? Yeah. Yeah, how heavy do you think the crowns are? And then there was the one point where apparently they hold up a tent and then he gets anointed with oil, like actual oil. And then the whole thing is, it's interesting. I mean, I'm so glad that we live in a republic and we don't do all that. You know, I very much through and through. I just like the costume and the horses. Did the one guy that was the most impressive person this whole time was during the procession, I guess. And there was a dude, y'all, anybody who does anything on horseback, like if you shoot on horseback, you play an instrument on horseback. Horsemen and horsewomen know how tough that is, especially if you make it look easy to like rubes like us, right? Like, we don't know. I love horses. I will hug them, feed them apples and stuff. Yay. But I can't even imagine doing some of this stuff. There was a dude who was leading the procession. And at first I was like, what is he doing with his arms? Because he was just flailing his arms up and down, one side and the other. He was wearing this, I don't know how to put, like a drum outfit where he had two drums on a horse, two drums on either side. And he had like a little thing for like music. I mean, he's playing drums. I guess he's got to know what's coming up. It had the little list, like the little like it shot out from his waist, and he had this thing, I guess, where you could see what he was playing. He was riding this horse through the crowded streets of London, playing the drums with both hands, keeping beat, and literally steering the horse with only his legs. That seems like that's pretty impressive. Am I right, horse people? That seems like that's kind of impressive, right? I mean, I get scared if I watch somebody steer with their knee for half a second. I can't imagine being on a horse. And then you've got the drums. You've got to keep time because everyone's marching to your time. All the people behind you with their horses. And you got to keep. That was the most impressive thing I saw. Where's that guy gets a medal? That guy. And then the lady that gave out all the swords. That was really cool. It's like I had very practical observations of all of this. And then they, one last thing, that all the people, I guess, that were there in front of their big old balcony, in the palace balcony or something like that, they, every time people would come out to tidy up the balcony, the crowd would think, I guess it's the time to cheer. So somebody would come out and the crowd would go, oh! And they'd sweep or something, and then someone else would come out to straighten the banners or the bunting. Oh! It was a riot. I do appreciate that we have that there's, you know, a country in the world that has these very ancient traditions, right? I don't discount that. I mean, I love that we're a republic and I appreciate our American history, and I can't even imagine. I mean, every bit of my DNA rejects the idea of having a monarch over me. But I can appreciate in this era of rotting modernity that there are still some traditions that involve Harry Potter capes and giant feathers and, you know, riding with drums on a horse. I appreciate all, and the lady giving out swords, can't forget her. I appreciate all this stuff, right? I like that. Oh, one last quick thing. The queen's daughter and the lady who's has the helmet with the feather that blocked out that balding ginger that sat behind her, right? That guy. So she is, she seems hardcore. Like she's, like apparently plays a part in the military, and she was out there. She didn't want to ride in a carriage like everybody else. She was on horseback in the rain, this woman. That's hardcore. I like her. I think she might be my favorite. She might be my favorite one. I like her a lot. But I do appreciate, and I appreciate the that we have a country on this planet where you have that kind of pomp and circumstance and all of this stuff. And people were praying publicly. Shocking, I know. There was public prayer. Imagine that, public prayer. And all the roles and the costuming and all. I mean, say what you will about this guy being a climate change dude who's king over there now, but the roles were decidedly male and female. And there was a little bit of tradition, like I said, this rotting modernity that expects us to dwindle everyone down to this, you know, banal, however you want to put it, androgynous ridiculousness. It was nice to see. Oh, it was nice to see some of this stuff. Anyway, those are my observances about the coronation. And then everyone ate quiche.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
And you talk about fighting for the soul of America. But can we level set in terms of the soul of America? Right now, hate crimes are on the rise. Random acts of gun violence. Women are under attack, Mr. President.
I'll do one. The answer is yes, because that's why we can't let, we cannot let this election be one where the same man who was president 4 years ago becomes president again.
What? That didn't make... So he was asked about the soul of America, basically, and that was his answer. Yes. Welcome back. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lasher with you. Oh, boy. And then there was this. I can't forget this hit. Audio soundbite one. He's just smarter than you. I mean, how dare you question him on this? Listen.
Why would an 82-year-old Joe Biden be the right person for the most important job in the world?
Because I have acquired a hell of a lot of wisdom. I know more than the vast majority of people. I'm more experienced than anybody who's ever run for the office. And I think I've proven myself to be honorable as well as also effective.
Really? What? So remember, he just said he's more honorable. Audio soundbite three, he's more honorable. And he should be trusted more because of this. But then this.
First of all, my son's done nothing wrong. I trust him. I have faith in him. And it impacts my presidency by making me feel proud of him.
Okay. And this is, you know, on the eve of potential of, you know, what's being speculated is an indictment coming, because they've had the investigation now since 2018, his tax, you know, whether or not he claimed all of his communist China income. And then, of course, let's not forget the line on his 4473 when he bought his handgun while totally cracked out, according to his own book, same time frame. He says that he's done nothing wrong. I trust him. I trust no one that trusts Hunter. What in the world? But trust Joe, because he knows more than you. I bet he does on this. I bet he does. Where'd you get all that money at, Joe? Where's that CCP money? I mean, I know he knows more about that CCP money than we do. That's why Comer and all them want to get those documents. I mean, I'm just saying. Oof. Just saying. Of course he knows more on that. I mean, at this point, I think he's an avatar just for the people who actually lead the country through him. He's not making decisions about the day-to-day operations of this country. He's not even involved in negotiations over a budget, which should be one of his, I mean, literally, you have one job. And he's not doing that. He's not involved in it. He's MIA. When does he go back to Delaware? He thinks it's Memorial Day this weekend, as per the audio we played last segment. When does he go back to Delaware? All right, today in stupidity, Kane, although I may have taken it from
you. It'll be our Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. On this one, this is good. He says the border's not open, and the border has not been open. This is comedy, in my opinion.
We are building lawful pathways, and we are delivering consequences for those who do not use those meaningfully accessible pathways. The message is very clear. We are coming with the relief that our laws provide to the individuals in need. The border is not open. Yeah. It has not been open.
But and that's,
no, that's
a
not true.
Lie, though.
Yeah, it's not. Tell that to the, how many crossings did we have just over the weekend?
But my salute 7,000 something? To our Border Patrol agents.
Yeah, by the way, they're doing the Lord's work down there, trying to just manage. Keep them in your prayers, because we're 2 days away today. Tomorrow it'll be one, and we'll be back with you behind the mic then. God bless.